Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring day sort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
You're listening to The V Show, broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Bobby V.
Well, Robert's out. He's going to rest those pipes. Can't say I blame him. He's got a speaking engagement this evening. So Nikki and I, me, Pat Jackers, we're going to be hanging out here for the last 40 minutes or so on The V Show here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. So, Bob, if you can get that rest and make sure those beautiful pipes of his are ready to go for his engagement he has tonight and the rest of the week. And we got a lot going on this week. It's kind of crazy that, to me, the summer's flown by. It's we're really in the depths of what's about to be football season, and things are picking up, Nicholas Valvano. We're on remote again this week. Numerous times this week, so that's going to be a lot of fun. I've kind of missed that. Now that we're like, I feel like we're completely post COVID now. Like we're going to be back to what we were about 4 years ago, where during the football season we were on remote numerous times a week. We were doing remote broadcasts leading up to the football season, and now that we are the official home and broadcast partner of Louisville Athletics, the flagship per se, we got a lot coming up and a lot going on, including. It's going to be weird to promote and say the Scott Satterfield Coaches Show.
I know, on these airwaves?
Yes, on that? These airwaves, which, by the way, I can kind of hear it in my headset. Microphone a little hot, just a tad
coming in a little bit stronger.
Yeah, a little hot. Yeah, all good. Much better. But that's going to be really, really odd for us to say it first, is to promote that we have the Coaches Show for Scott Satterfield. Now Kenny Payne, and also Dan McDonald. That's going to be something new we're doing as well. And hey. Jeff Walls. Can't forget about Jeff Walls. We already had that show on 93.9 The Ville, but we're also going to have that as well. And we are your home for all of U of L athletics with our friends over at 970. But real quick, to remind you guys some stuff we have going on here in ESPN Louisville tonight. Cardinal Insider at 5:30 to 6:30 on 93.9 The Ville. And immediately after, Scotty D's going to take over, and he's going to bring the heat. I've seen his tweets. And look, he got on the airwaves with Drew last week and said that he was going to let it all out there and provide some insight and some details, essentially put the NCAA on blast about some things that went on with their appeal for them to essentially be able to play in the NCAA tournament. No action was taken as of now. So, you know, coach is pissed. He has every right to be, because there's no reason why a team that wins their conference championship should not be in the NCAA tournament. There's just no reason for it. Unless there's some type of tournament ban or something like that from the Committee of Infractions or the IRP, whatever, for a school to essentially do everything right, you're punishing them by not allowing them to play in the NCAA tournament. And for the mid-major schools, we all know this. That's the one thing they, you know, actually had to play for, is a trip to the big dance and play some of the best teams in the country. You know, that's an honor that's earned when you win your conference championship, and Bellarmine didn't get to do that, and they're not eligible to do that for, you know, a few more years. So I'm with Scotty D, and hopefully you guys are listening tonight at 6:30, because I know he's going to bring that heat, and I can't wait to hear what he's got to say. So that's coming up here on ESPN Louisville. And also, Reds versus the Phillies.
I like that, the Sillies.
The Reds versus the Phillies, 6:10 p.m. on ESPN 680 and 105.7. So, Nick, before we get into sports here, before we get into some of this sound, incredible sound, by the way, Paul Feinbaum, he joined Kublik in the mornings. He does a morning show in Alabama.
And do you ever see the skit of the Alabama man? Do you ever see that skit?
Alabama, was that Mad TV?
It was. I think it was South Park.
It was. Oh, okay.
Yes, but it is a Matt Stone and Trey Parker production.
Beautiful.
So as you can tell, it's definitely hilarious to say the least. Every time I hear about Alabama, that's all I want to say is the voice from the Alabama man. You guys got to see this skit. If you haven't watched it, go on YouTube. You'll laugh your ass off. It is completely hilarious, and it's also a very terrible thing that they're doing in terms of stereotypes. But regardless, it's what they do. That's Trey Parker and Matt Stone. So, but anyways, I had to ask you, Nikki. First off, did you do anything this past weekend for your birthday? Do you have plans tonight? Happy birthday, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you, my
it's first
friend.
Time I've
Thank
got you. To tell you that all day. This is the first time, and I know Maben is rejoicing somewhere, that I didn't walk in that studio or the control room one time during Maben. And that's because it's a Monday and things have been a little hectic, to say the least.
Say, anytime Patty Ice is coming in with boxes in both arms, I looked like you were... What were those? Did we have banners or something like that?
We've got some stuff going on this week. Yeah, we've got some stuff going on out at the Blind Squirrel tomorrow. We have a private event going on we're excited for. So we're doing that for some of our clients. It's our annual client party, but it's more of an open house for us this year because we've essentially kind of rebranded a little bit. Now that we have the rights for U of L Athletics. So, yeah, there's a lot going on, Nick, to say the least. We're getting ready for that. Andy and I coming up with a game plan.
Party and time, baby.
It's crazy because I kind of got into this earlier, Nick, but really, I'm so hyped the football season's back, man. Like, this past weekend was the first weekend for preseason football. As a cold season ticket holder, I had my first preseason game as a season ticket holder this Saturday against the Lions of Detroit, the Fighting Dan Campbells, the
yes.
Colts. See, I'm excited for this because on Hard Knocks, we're going to see the Lions and the Colts. That's going to be an episode because they're sharing the three-day camp.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
The Lions are coming to town.
Right.
So part of Hard Knocks is going to feature the Colts and them hosting the Lions at camp. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait for that, and I'm very excited for that one.
And again, yes, we are the new home for U of L Athletics, but we do still carry the Colts. We do still carry the Ravens. We're your home for the NFL as well. We haven't given up any properties.
Well, we won't have this Saturday's game.
No.
But same thing for the Ravens. We will not have the preseason games, but we will have them throughout the season.
Yes, indeed.
That is what our contract will entail, according to the boss man, Andrew Sweeney. So that is the plan for that. So if you're wondering if we will have that game this weekend, we will not. But in terms of the regular season, you guys already know we've got you covered. But regardless, man, I just really felt like this was the first weekend of football, and we're going to have football all the way up until freaking February. So Tasty. This is the last – I mean, literally, this was the first weekend of many to come of nothing but football. And then we're really approaching week zero of the college football season, which a lot of times aren't very good games in those weekends. But regardless – man, I'm all in. If you haven't gotten to football mode yet, I don't know how you haven't, because right now all we're doing is talking and all we're doing is putting hypotheticals out there, but including what the hell is going up the road in Lexington. That's been a consistent conversation throughout the day here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Paul Feinbaum, he had some interesting comments, Nick. We don't have to get into these now, but I do want to get into these when we do come back from commercial break around 2:30 or so, because Avery and Jack did a fine job, and the boss man, Andrew Sweeney, as well, cutting up some of this audio. But a lot to get into. But I did want to ask you, Nick, is there one big takeaway for you from the first weekend of football that you had? Did you get to catch any of it? Were you working at the restaurant? Did Nicky do anything for his birthday? What did your weekend entail?
I was working at the restaurant both days, and I peeked in on some of the games. No major takeaways. I'd be lying if I said I watched a ton. I will say that when we were at the Top Golf Sunday, we got to see there was a replay of the UK spring game. I watched a little bit of that, but no major takeaways. I haven't really looked at anything from the Colts and Bills. I got to be honest, I've been following some of the storylines for the locals, but I haven't really watched a ton of preseason football yet. I watched a drive or two of The Packers looked okay this weekend. I watched a drive of that game as I was running through the lounge. But I was in the speakeasy all weekend, so there's no TVs back there. I was a little bummed about that. But I did get to set fire to a lot of cocktails, so because we do the craft cocktail stuff back there. So got some new butane lighters. So I was a little bit of a pyro this weekend, but didn't watch a ton of football. I'll be 1,000% honest, 1,000% transparent.
Okay, fair enough.
What stood out to you? Anything in particular?
Well, Matt Ryan doesn't look that great.
Okay, I have a feeling you were going to get to that.
Yeah, there's that. So that was my first takeaway of the football, that it's the preseason. It's his first in-game snaps, and not so much him. The wide receivers for the Colts had no separation. The starters did not look very good. Sam Ellinger looked pretty damn solid. I saw a quote from Jim Irsay saying, "You just never know if he could be the next Tom Brady." Let me go vomit.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I was like,
let me go vomit from any quote of that. But anyways,
that's
no,
some beyond
the Colts defense
there.
Did what it typically does, forced some turnovers. I don't know. Did you hear about that game against the Bills? There was like 7 turnovers in the first half of football. Not even the first half. I want to say the first 17 minutes of play, there were 7 turnovers.
Wow. Now, okay, how much of that was how long did the starters play? Because we had Chick Verona Lara Overton on, and she made it kind of seem like the starters were going to get some time, but it was basically just going to be like a quarter of play for both teams, the Colts and the Bills. Did they play? Because if they were they struggling? Did they cut their day short? Did they go a little long? Like I said,
no.
I watched
Josh
barely
Allen
any
did
this
not
weekend.
Play. Jonathan Taylor did not play.
Oh, okay.
The Colts had a lot of their starters on defense out there. The Colts' entire offensive line, their starters were out there. The only person that was absent really on the Colts' offense was Jonathan Taylor. Shaq Leonard, also known as Darius Leonard,
right.
he has not been practicing all camp. And really, Ngakoue took limited reps, and so did Buckner as well. But that Colts defense looked fantastic. They produced a ton of turnovers. They looked like they're picking up right where they left off last year. Colts offense, though, needs some work. They look god-awful. Like, when I say god-awful, I mean, look, I like to be pretty fair for the most part. They looked horrible. Horrible. Matt Ryan did not look sharp. The wide receivers had no separation in the routes at all whatsoever. It was a pretty piss-poor performance, to say the least.
How'd the Colts secondary look? Because that was a point of contention. I know their defense was pretty good last year, but that was probably the weakest spot.
One of the Colts rookies, Cross, he had 2 turnovers.
Oh, wow.
He
got 2 picks?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's a nice thing to look at.
Like I said, Nick, defense looked good.
Collectively?
Yes, collectively.
Okay.
Yeah, they looked good. The first drive, it took them a little time to kind of get settled in, but they forced a fourth down. They actually the Bills went for it. They forced a turnover on downs. They went down the field, got a field goal, and after that, the Colts offense just did not look good, man. It looked very, very stale. So I've got some concerns. For those of you who just think the Colts are a lock to win the division, I understand it's one preseason game. And a lot of times, it's really hard to have like a lot of major takeaways from preseason football, but there's sometimes some guys out there that – they go out there, they look really good. Like the Steelers, none of their quarterbacks perform well for the most part. There wasn't a lot of separation. Trubisky and Mason Rudolph both, they had their ups and downs this past weekend for the Steelers. But looking back at, you know, another team, for example, that I'm watching, the Carolina Panthers being one, I thought Matt Crowell would go in and look good. He did not. It's just one of those things where I'm really starting to believe that this might be one of the more worse quarterback classes we've seen. Kenny Pickett and like
say,
third or fourth stream reps, he performed really well.
I was gonna say, I thought I saw that storyline that he looked okay. At
but
least.
Nick,
is he going to be the shiny part of the shiny turd of this QB class? Is that what you're kind of getting at?
Nah, maybe. I mean, Malik Willis might play at some point. I mean, you know, for the Titans, maybe, because I just think Tannehill's crap. And Jared Stillman and I thoroughly agree on that.
What did Process call him? King of the checkdown or something like
yes.
that? Yeah. That was I hope somewhere. I don't want to jinx it because I don't think he's going to do it. But I am going to reach out to Process, who is our commissioner for fantasy football, and see if maybe he can record some NFL weekend reviews, because those were fun. And I know he still wants to be part of the show. And I just love the idea of him working at the news desk at WLW, just shouting about, you know, his off-color comments about, I mean, you know, I don't know, Russell Wilson and Sierra and Denver or something like that. I just would love to hear the rantings of a one, the process, and the fact that if he recorded them in a capital J journalism office would just make it that much better for me. But I don't know. That's wishful thinking. I digress.
A couple of texts coming out of the UPS jobs. Text line 437-9680. Can I ask a dumb question? Why do they play preseason games? Well, you got to remember, guys, they got a 53-man roster. They got to narrow these things down. You know how they do that? By putting these guys out there in meaningless games. That's why they have preseason football.
Exactly. I mean, it's basically the end of the tryouts.
100%. Yeah, thank you. Basically, that's a great way of putting it. Yeah. But I did want to point this out to you. Do you remember the name Desmond Ridder?
Yes.
How can we forget him, right? Kid from St. X. Had a pretty good debut for the Falcons, by the way. I don't think anyone's really talked about this, but late in the game there, he was out there in four-quarter situation, 2 minutes left to go. He gave the Falcons the lead late over the Lions, put him up 27-23, and he looked pretty good, man. He had 103 yards. Completion percentage, not that great, 45%, but two touchdowns and 4.68 yards per attempt. Not a lot of deep stuff, and that's the thing, Nick, that I think a lot of people have to realize. In preseason, you really don't want to take a lot of shots, especially with guys you might have to actually go out there and play,
mm-hmm.
because you don't put things on film.
Yeah, you don't want to expose anything. Play it kind of close to the best. That's fair.
I feel really pathetic, though, Nick, because I should not have watched as much preseason football as I did. But I don't know what it is. I feel like this is the first real season where no mask, none of the COVID nonsense, where essentially things are actually back to normal. Fully, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because even most places were, I mean, like you had places like Indianapolis where, you know, in December, they didn't give a bleep, dude. I was at that Patriots game. They weren't wearing masks. Nobody cared. But then you've got places out west where everyone's still trying to be pretty safe, right?
Right.
So, you know, this is going to be the first year where I feel like everything is normal. So I feel like we're going to have a better idea of whether or not fans are actually attending events. Do fans care to go? I mean, we had this whole conversation that COVID really, you know, gave more of this ideology that, you know what? Maybe I should be watching more games at home. It's more convenient. I don't have to go sit out in the rain. It's more affordable because you couldn't go regardless, right? So
Right. Maybe
people got a little too comfortable with being at home. Nah, man. I think people are going to go out and about. And I really do think that numbers are going to be up this year in the NFL. I don't know if you've seen this, by the way. The Raiders. How much do you think it costs to, let's say that I were to travel to Las Vegas and watch them take on the Colts right now? On the open resale market, it's one of the most expensive tickets out there. How much do you think a ticket costs for me to be able to go see the Colts play the Raiders in Vegas at Allegiant Field?
That's got
stadium, whatever the hell it is, but it's something with Allegiant.
I'm gonna
never had a problem with Allegiant. Sorry, Mark Boykenbaker.
All right, so are you asking about the flight or the ticket actual price?
The ticket,
the ticket.
Get into the game.
I'm gonna put the over under at 180, and I'm gonna say a hair over.
Yes.
Good.
A little bit more.
Lord.
At one point, it was $200. Last time I checked, it was up $240.
God, I was hoping. Wow, $240?
It's one of the most.
Holy smokes.
It's one of the most expensive things in football because, Nick, people want an excuse to go to Las Vegas.
That's true.
So if you're a fan of that team, like me, the Colts, who play at Allegiant this year in Las Vegas, that's on my bucket list to see the Colts play in Vegas. And people know that dummies like myself are going to be like, you know what? I haven't been to Vegas. I'm 21. I now have an excuse to go. Go see my team play. Take a little nice weekend vacation. Allegiant literally has travel and flight packages that they're selling right now just for this type of thing.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
But $240. So I don't think I'm going this year.
That's
probably not.
I mean,
my buddies still want to go, and I'm like, y'all, first off, I'm probably going to have to miss a Louisville football game for the pregame show, and I don't, that's my baby, you know?
Yeah.
I built a brand with that. We don't want to do that. And also, you know, we've got a lot going on game days here this year now that we do have the flagship. I mean, things are a little different than what they have been in the past.
Yeah, it's going to be very hard for any of us to take any time off from like here until like March.
But and we're also going to be training a ton of people because we are in the process of hiring.
And by the way, if you are a parent out there listening right now, I'm looking for interns. You know, quite a few of us have put some stuff out there. I know Andy has put some stuff out there. I put some stuff out there. Drew as well. Phil Baker. We're looking for interns here. And we're looking for college students that are local because they have to be on hand. They cannot be out of state or off location. These need to be interns that are in office. We're looking for college students, preferably kids that go to maybe Spalding, JCTC, U of L. I went to IU Southeast. You know, if you have a college student out there that wants to do something in communications, you know, let us know. This is an office full of resources, and we always need interns, and we're looking for interns for the fall and next spring as well. So feel free to hit me up at pat.j@espnlouisville.com. You can also find my contact info at the website at espnlouisville.com under our staff directory. So you guys can find that there as well. If you have somebody in mind, maybe for an internship, I'm not looking for anybody that wants to play radio at the age of 40. These internships have a purpose, typically for college credit for these college students. And in return, we allow them to put the four letters on the resume and build some
nice little jumping off point. Yeah. Get your feet wet in media. You know, I mean, absolutely. We would love to have you. Absolutely. But we would prefer, you know, good attitudes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, you know, I mean, come in with the right mindset. You know, we you know.
Yeah, that's actually funny you bring that up. I had somebody reach out to me about a month ago about an internship, asking if from day one if there were any internships available where they could interview players and coaches.
Y'all, that's not going to be the case.
Let's walk before you run. You know, I mean, I don't want to rule anything out, but it took Pat about what, 2-3 years to be able to do that? I mean,
yes.
You know. Come on.
And it was going to many of games and being in the locker room and being trained properly. So if you are looking for an internship and you are interested, keep in mind that, you know, this is a entry-level internship. And we're trying to give, you know, young college students in here an opportunity to really see what media is about. So once again, feel free to hit me up at my email. You can find it. You can find ESPNLouisville.com. Texter says, what about drug test? Well, all I'm going to say is that I've never been drug tested. I'm a Nikki. But then again, we're a company where you kind of got to give us a reason to drug test. You know, if you come in here smelling like weed, we're probably going to ask you for a drug test. You know what I mean? Like, you come in here and you look all strung out. We're probably going to be like, you probably want to ask you for a drug test. We'll probably just say, bro, go home. You know what I mean? Like, if you ever go into the office or you know anybody that's gone to the office looking like they're completely strung out on heroin or something, you're probably not going to last very long.
Yeah, we prefer.
I love that somebody texted. What about a drug test? Smart ass. Thanks for the text of the day, though. But 437-9680. By the way, I got to ask
We're going to test your pee and see if you're cool.
Before we get into some of this Paul Feinbaum sound, talking about, golly, man, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to this, Nikki. Feinbaum winning on Cal.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to play this on the other side of the break. But I did want to ask you, have you ever had any wild stories of somebody just all strung out walking into Equus Jack's trying to get, you know, free food? I remember there was one time we were at 4th Street where some dude, like, literally was trying to steal tip money off the counter of Sports and Social. Your dad and I were doing a remote out there.
Oh, jeez.
And Mike Pratt, all three of us were all – it was a Fast Break Friday. We were all looking. Yeah. R.I.P. We were all looking at each other. We're like, holy crap, did that just happen? And Jason was sitting there, too, prepping for a show, and we were dumbfounded that some dude literally tried to steal tip money right off the counter at Sports and Social.
I could regale you with stories for about an hour of sketchy stuff that I witnessed working at both sports bars and even at the upscale – Equus. I'll just say this. I had to drive a patron home one time in a blizzard. And I think...
Why would you drive this man home or her home?
Because...
She hammered?
She was a little inebriated. She had a disability.
Okay.
And we could not get anybody to pick her up. Cabs wouldn't do it. Ubers wouldn't do it. And it was to the point, it was in a blizzard. So we were like, hey, look, this person has...
And obviously the Metro service probably wasn't running because of the blizzard.
No.
Right?
So literally it was like, hey, we called four, and this isn't a shot necessarily at Ubers or anybody. It was like, look, you have to take by the hand this patron and walk them up the steps. It's icy. It's dark. They're not all the way there. And we have to ensure this person gets home. Because if you just say, okay, we're here, open the door, they're not going to find it.
So it, nobody would do that. They said, well, legally we can't do that. So it was getting to the point where it was like 2 a.m. The roads were about to shut down. So me and a dude in the kitchen were like, okay, where do you live? And we just drove. And I was like, I don't know if this is legal, but we got to get you home safe. So that's the type of service you get at Equus, baby.
Wow.
We drove this poor woman home. We got on either side of her and you know, guided her to her door and, you know, wished her a very nice night. So, and then we went back and we're like, that was weird. That was a weird day.
Dude, I've had a lot of weird days, man, especially like that working, you know, at the Yum Center. Saw all types of wild things, as you know.
Yep.
Especially working behind the scenes of concerts.
Oh, God,
I could tell you some stories about Bieber and Madonna you wouldn't believe.
I didn't work some things
that I have seen working behind the scenes at those concerts.
I didn't work those, but I worked Kid Rock. And that was a rowdy.
That one was wild.
That was a rowdy
New
crowd,
Year's Eve. But the whole place reeked of weed.
They tipped like mofos.
Oh, yeah. It was one of the So that night and Garth Brooks back-to-back concerts in one night.
Yep.
That was the most I've ever made. I think I walked out of there with like $600 in two concerts.
Yep.
And tips. It was ridiculous.
I was on top
of my hourly wage. So I think I ended up, actually, I think it was more cash than that, man. I think I'm lowballing this thing, dude. I didn't even count it. Like, I remember I was so slap happy when I did count it that I had the deposit slip and everything written out that night, and the next morning I put it in. I'm going to say it was more than $600. I know that.
That's strong. See, I was working the ice cream stand, so I had nobody came to see me, but I didn't mind because I poked my head out there. Garth Brooks, that man, that is a show.
Puts on a show.
That is a professional.
Puts on a
show.
Four
shows, 2+ hours each, back to back to back to back in 2 days. And did not mail it in one bit. I mean, he was out there.
He's incredible, man.
Selling it. That was, I got, so I already respected the man. Got the highest level of respect.
I lied. It was 600 one night. It was 600 one night. That's what it was, yeah. And then, well, the second night wasn't as strong as the first night. Do you remember that?
Like, yeah, that's true.
The crowds were still good, but I, because it was a Friday, Saturday thing, and there's two shows on each day.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. The Friday crowd was much,
they were wild.
Much more lively. The Saturday crowd was, I would almost say like 2/3 of that of the Friday crowd.
In terms of like in terms of the indulgement and tipping, I definitely agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
But a bunch of texts coming about this. UPS jobs text line 437-9680.
wait, real fast. Worst tipped concert you ever worked?
Worst tipped concert I ever worked?
Yes.
Oh, man. It wasn't a concert. It was a game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which one? Don't have to say if you don't want to.
Well, the smaller games with the lesser teams, those always suck. But I will say there was one time where I should have walked out of there probably the $120. Like, if it's a basic, this was during the Rick Pitino era. And the big time games, you made a lot of money. Like Duke, I'd walk out of there easy $150, right?
Right.
With Justin Cash. For UNC one time, this is when, I believe it was the Damian Lee year when they beat UNC. Walked out of there with like $18.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, that's rough.
It was a terrible tipping crowd. Keep in mind, I rely on my bartenders to give me a percent of their cut as well. So when you guys go to these games and you don't tip in cash to the bartenders.
Yeah, you're screwing everybody.
You're screwing everybody, y'all.
Yeah. I was very disappointed when I worked My Morning Jacket. Great, great band. My Morning Jacket, great band. Not taking anything away from them. That crowd, stingy AF.
WWE, pretty stingy as well.
Really? That's disappointing.
Yeah, I actually bartended a couple of those events where instead of like bar backing for like 20 bars, I bar backed. I actually bartended a couple of those events, and they are terrible. Would rather have bar backed for sure. All right, so Texter asked for... Texter says, I was at that game, and I tip well, wasn't me.
Oh, we appreciate you.
Texter says, in order to get an internship or a job at ESPN Louisville, you also must, in all caps, be a U of L blowhard. That's incorrect. I'm not a blowhard. Jack's not a blowhard. Process wasn't a U of L blowhard.
I'm going to say, my L's are up, but they're not obnoxiously so.
Well, none of our L's are up for me. Well, Jack kind of likes Louisville. Kind of is the word there.
You got one L up. I don't know if you have
Oh, get
both
the hell out of here.
Up.
I'm not getting either L up, dude.
You have one.
Like, you can call me Cardinal Pat or J-Town Jaggers all you want, but
you host like 4 U of L shows. You
that
have
doesn't
at
mean
least
I have an
a
L up.
Minor, a small L. A small L. Just a little. Okay, maybe not. By the way, Big Time Rush. That was mine.
Worse?
Yeah, and wow. But that was my fault. It's a teenage concert. It starts at like 2. I thought I was signing up to work Rush. I was like, "Oh snap. Oh, I can get out and I can like this was like 2010. So I was like, "Hell yeah, Neil Peart baby." Like I'll go poke my head out there for this. So I'm getting done with hockey practice, and they're like, "Where are you rushing off to?" It's like, I got to go pick up a little extra scratch. I'm going to the Yum Center. I'm gonna work Rush, and my buddy who's on the team is like, "Nick, my dad's taking my little sister to that concert. It's Big Time Rush," and I was like, "Are you kidding me?" And so I remember it was so slow; nobody was buying anything except popcorn and soda and pretzels, and there was one dead-eyed dad there. That had like a gaggle of young girls, and you could just tell he drew the short straw, and he was just trying to get through this day. And I bought him a beer. He was like, "I ordered like 6 Dr. Peppers and 4 pretzels. What's this?" And I was like, "This is for you, man."
Okay, so since you have your L's up, let me ask you this: Nick Valvano gets offered free tickets to UK Georgia.
I'm going. I already went to that. I covered that game.
You can only pick one
game.
You can only pick one. UK Georgia. Louisville at home, FSU, bonkers crowd, 3-0.
That is a good one, my friend. What's UK's record?
I don't know. They're probably 3-0. But like going against Georgia, okay. Let's say UK is undefeated taking on Georgia.
Oh man, mark this for the mixtape. I'm gonna get crushed for it. I went down and I covered that game.
Okay. So what's your answer? You're not giving me a yes or no here.
UK Georgia, man.
Okay, so
SEC, it just matters more. It just matters more, baby.
Clearly, your L is not fully erect.
Well, you know, it's like I said, I said there were
like,
medium
it's like
there.
Crooked erect. It's not fully erect. It's crooked.
I'm not exactly pushing rope, but I mean, yeah, it's
you heard that, guys. U of L fan picked the Georgia game over a Cards game.
It's a great atmosphere. I would happily go to.
Speaking of the ref, look, I don't like to make things about the rivalry very often, but when we come back from break, I'm going to.
Uh-oh. All right, hey, Cody wants to weigh in real fast.
All right, Cody,
a quick restaurant tale.
All right, what's going on, Cody? Thanks for chiming in, brother. What's up?
Hey, real quick, don't sleep on Big Time Rush, man. The mosh pits were freaking crazy at that show.
Shut up. Jeez.
But, okay, so my quick restaurant story. I was at Drake's for about 2 years.
I like Great Drake's. Great company. Great company.
Oh, yeah. Awesome company. So my first week of bar backing, it's going smooth. But then I finally had my first encounter with a way too intoxicated customer. So I had a man bun at the time. It was a pretty good man bun. And the drunker he was getting, the more angry he was getting at the fact that I had a man bun, to the point where by the end of the night, he was really trying to fight me. And his boys were, like, getting hella aggressive, and we had to, like, kick them out. I was like, dude, I was just standing here cleaning glasses. So it literally just my hair was caused a whole tippy or anything like that. So it's just... The stuff you got to deal with, man. Nikki, I feel you, bro. I feel you, dude.
Oh man, Pat ran service industry for quite a minute, so he's got stories too. That could be a whole damn podcast we could do.
Let's get it going, guys. I really feel like this country needs to hear the behind the scenes of the restaurant work that we've all done.
Oh, I agree, Cody. Thanks for the call, brother.
See you guys.
So, Nick, I got to ask a question. Do we need to take a break or are we caught up on spots?
Let me see here. Okay.
While you're doing that, let me kind of preface something real quick.
We're caught up. We're good.
Okay, so we don't need to go to break then.
No.
So we can go to the top of the hour.
Now, are you good to stick around? Because I had a contingency plan if you had to dip out to get ready for the drive. But you are more than welcome
to stay, my friend. Let's stay.
Okay,
because
beautiful.
I want to play some of these fine bomb sounds. We got some great text, UPS Jobs text line, 437-9680. Power Hungry Pat, both you is are securely up with no questions asked. Texter, I'm trying. I think I'm reading this right. I believe my dyslexia is not kicking in here. Please try to reword that one and send it back in. I have no idea what the hell you're
trying to
say. It sounds
like it's a chirp.
Like he's trying to chirp, but like literally in his attempt to chirp, He didn't type the insult out correctly.
Voice to text.
Okay. Try again.
Yeah, swallow your lunch before you try to use the voice to text.
Breathe.
Oh, my guy.
Try again.
Biscuit popping.
And send that back one. Send that one back in, please, because I would like to read the insult. Thank you. 437-9680. Texter says, I need a podcast called Dirty Jobs with Pat Jaggers. No, Dirty Jobs with Italian Ice. That's what it needs to be. Italian Ice takes on Dirty Jobs.
You
we go.
Worked as a dan. That is one thing, though. You're I've got service
industry
stories.
I have some
stories.
Life experience, man.
Bro, I didn't realize you worked as a firework guy, a zookeeper, a nude model, and a duck farmer.
Well, it's a farm. Like, I grew up on a farm. There's a couple. I've worked at a Subway. I spent a summer working at the Honda plant out in Greensburg, Indiana. I did that, so I've been on the industrial line. What the hell is that called? The production line.
Yeah.
Done that. I worked at FedEx in Indianapolis, which is the second largest hub for FedEx. Memphis is the first. Obviously, UPS is the largest hub in the country here in Louisville.
I was a UPS there 8 years.
So FedEx is the equivalence of, in Indianapolis is the equivalence of UPS down here. So I've done that, and here's the thing about me most people don't know. I don't really think I've talked about this on the air very much, Nick. I had three jobs all throughout college.
Freaking Jamaican, dude.
Well, I mean, I wanted to not rely on student loans as much as possible, but still ended up with $25,000 student loans, so there's that.
Damn. I thought I was crazy. I had two jobs and hockey. I was pretty busy, but
I'm proud of it. I paid off six.
I'll tip my cap to you, man. I was being a stereotype working at my parents' pizza place. Good times. Running bar there and working nights at UPS. That was my gig. I delivered radiators for one summer for my hockey coaches.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, but I got lost one time and
that sounds terrible.
I showed up super late and they were like, we love
never
you.
Again.
But yeah, never again. Never I did, again. I did it for like 3 days. Literally 3 days.
You need a structured job, young man.
yeah, that's probably.
Love you.
That's fair. That's probably for me. The shortest jobs I ever had was I did that for like 3 days and I was a hockey referee. I was the world's worst hockey referee. For when I was younger, I was like 13. I reffed like four games, but there was a ref shortage, and not to make excuses for myself, me and Moon Mullins, talk about a duo. Our first game, we were reffing the team we didn't make. So these guys that are like faster, stronger, and everything like that, we're out there linesmen, and it was like, what the hell are we doing out here?
Screw this.
Yeah, I was like, it was awful. So, like, I swallowed my whistle. It was absolutely terrible. And then we made a complete mockery of a house league. We went from the highest level of hockey in the city to the lowest level of hockey in the city, and we messed the game up, and the parents of the lower level game almost fought us both. That was some scary stuff. Sports parents are insane.
Oh,
are absolutely insane.
So we told that text back in, and golly, they got even meaner. I mean, you try to send an insult, and then I said, okay, please resend your insult. And it got 10 times more mean. Because okay, so just to preface here, texter first said, power hungry, Pat, both your is are securely up with no question asked. Then he said, your eyes. He said, your L's took Viagra. Can you comprehend that question mark? Capitalize the L, so you can read it, LOL, and I'm driving. Kiss my ass. Golly,
sir,
man. Talk to text.
Sir or ma'am,
put your phone down. Yeah, get off the phone. I don't want you killing anybody. And if you're going to text, I mean, for God's sakes, talk to text. You don't need to be texting and driving regardless, but talk to text. Like, if you have a car from 2018 or beyond, you can literally say, hey, Siri. Text Nick Valvano, happy birthday. Go F yourself.
Yeah, there we go. That's all you got to do.
You know what I mean? Like, it's that simple.
And by the way, Petty and I are Cialis men in Blue Chew.
Yes. Not Viagra. The L is not fully erect. Question still hasn't been answered. When growing up on the farm, did Patty Ice get ever caught helping a sheep over the fence?
Is that an innuendo?
I don't know. Is that something like I need to look up innuendo on Urban Dictionary? Yeah. Am I getting Bob Valvano right now? am I getting both of these nuts right now? What's going on
here? That feels very Bofa.
It feels very Bofa. not just one, both of these nuts. That's what it feels like right now. So I don't understand what that text are trying to say. Nick, I'm assuming that has something to do with Urban Dictionary. But
yeah,
we've been
yeah.
saying we're going to play these clips from Paul Feinbaum. We've done a lot of nonsense this hour. And look.
But a good amount of sports, too.
Yeah, we talked some football.
It was a nice balance.
Which I feel pretty pathetic for watching as much preseason football as I did. Once again, I'm Pat Jaggers. He's Nick Valvano. Bobby V resting those golden pipes this afternoon. So let's go ahead and get into this Feinbaum sound. I'm going to make sure I tell you the proper clip to play here, Nick. But essentially, Paul Feinbaum, he joined a program in Alabama that features Cole Kublik of the SEC Network. Man does a little bit of everything. And I want to play this audio because Paul Feinbaum said something that I think is, I want to kind of make this, I had a takeaway from this audio that had nothing to do with John Calipari and everything to do with Louisville fans. And this was just my first takeaway. And so let's go ahead and play. This is, I want to say, Feinbaum, sorry, I'm trying to, these clips are too wordy here, man. Feinbaum 5. Feinbaum
yeah,
5,
okay,
sorry.
That's what I thought.
Look at the sound
were,
sheet, bro.
Yeah, no, it's, they're like paragraphs, bro.
Yes. I'm going to play Paul Feinbaum 5 here, and he gives a hot take on essentially where John Calipari is in line with the rest of the SEC coaches throughout the league when it comes to hoops.
John Calipari can be replaced. Mark Stoops cannot. Based on what the two have accomplished, would you be in line with that?
I would be 100% in line with that because you know, Cal has been phenomenal, and his resume backs it up. And I'm sure Dick Vitale will start screaming and hollering about all the Final Four, and he has. But guys, Kentucky gives that to you. John Calipari, all he did was take over a Kentucky program that had really been wrecked by Billy Gillespie, and he put it back together again. He was a brilliant coach. What he did at Memphis was spectacular. Only Cal can choke a 9-point lead in the final 3 minutes to blow a national championship. But that's who he is. He's a personality. But if you ask Kentucky fans right now, if you just lined up SEC coaches, would you rather have Cal or Bruce Pearl? Would you rather have Cal or Nate Oates? Would you rather have Cal or Musselman at Arkansas? I think Cal would get voted out on every one of those. This is about this moment in time, and you know, he misjudged it. He should have done everything in his power once he realized the mistake was made to get Mark Stoops on the same page and align themselves, and that's where Barnhart needed to get on top of it, and he didn't.
Okay. So here's where I'm at with all of this. And what I think is interesting is the comments where not only did Feinbaum discredit Cal to start that clip.
Yeah, really?
Let's just go back to what he had to say about Bruce Pearl, Nate Oates, and all these other coaches out there that he thinks are better in the SEC right now. And all I could think about, maybe this is me being a little bit bitter, not better. I probably need to be better, not bitter, in the words of Rick Pitino. Miss that man. Miss the Rick-isms.
God, I want him to come back.
Yeah, he's not coming back.
No, not forever, but just one game. One game. Him
give
and
us
Kenny,
give
baby.
Us a give us a press conference. You know?
Yeah, just something.
Give us
something.
A press conference of him talking that we can actually use the audio and him giving just doing all his isms. But back to the clip. I think it's funny how Paul Feinbaum, which, don't get me wrong, it's Paul Feinbaum. I don't think that when it comes to this conversation, he's really the last person I'm going to listen to in terms of the debate between Stoops and John Calipari. You know? Like, there's a lot of just Cal discredit there, even though he talks about all the great things that he's done at Kentucky. And the fact he almost won a national championship at Memphis, he then says that that's who Cal is, a man who essentially blows a 9-point lead with 3 minutes to go to lose a national championship. That's who he is. Okay. That doesn't really sound like you're giving a very balanced opinion about John Calipari. But regardless, what I think is interesting is that even a guy is dialed in the SEC like Feinbaum when it comes to how people view coaches right now, I think there's a lot of people that agree with him that they would rather have maybe in this moment, based off on-court success and recruiting, an Eric Musselman over John Calipari. So, you know, there are people out there that I think – think about that, Nick, because what Musselman did last year, the last 2 years, they have had some incredible recruiting classes, right, which they typically have at Kentucky. They had the number one recruiting class last year, and they went to the Elite Eight. Is that not Kentucky expectations on a year-in, year-out basis that John Calipari established for himself early on in his tenure?
No, I get so, that. It's just the
so here
the recency bias bugs me.
That's sports, though.
I know.
That's how you classify whether or not somebody's doing a good job based off the results they're putting up there.
What have you done for me lately? I get that.
Here's where I get to it. It's crazy to me how a lot of people would be okay having Musselman right now over Cal, but Louisville fans wouldn't take Musselman over Kenny Payne. I think that's kind of crazy, don't you think?
Ooh, that's a decent angle. That's a decent angle.
That was the first thing I heard about that audio was the fact that sentence has even come out of their mouths, that somebody would take Musselman over a premier coach like John Calipari, which that's his opinion. He can have that. He can view it that way. I'm not saying it's right, it's wrong, whatever. That's his opinion. But the fact that somebody like him, and I don't think he's the only one that feels that way, that they think that maybe Musselman's a better coach than John Calipari right now, I think there's a lot of people that probably feel that way. I think it's crazy that you can even have that conversation, but Louisville fans last year tried to convince me they'd rather have Kenny Payne than Eric Musselman, a guy that has gone to Elite Eights with reloaded rosters each year with top recruiting classes. And even though I know it was never going to happen, Louisville did not want to spend that kind of money. We know that now. We didn't know that at the time when these conversations were happening. We didn't know that. We now know from behind the scenes what the expectations were with the search firm and essentially where Louisville was at, what they were willing to spend, that Musselman was never on the plate. But the fact that numerous Louisville fans try to call into this show, numerous shows that I hosted, and say that they would rather have Kenny Payne over Eric Musselman is an absurdity. And now you've got people in the SEC saying that they think Musselman, right now, in this moment, is a better coach than Cal, which you can agree, disagree with that, whatever. I think it's more absurd that Louisville fans didn't want Eric Musselman. They would rather have had Kenny Payne over him than for someone to say that Eric Musselman is a better coach than John Calipari currently. I think that is more absurd. I don't make this about red versus blue very often, but the fact that that sentence and that thought process was ever out there is madness. And I was on the must bus.
I was on the must bus, yeah. I jumped from the Oates boat to the must bus a little bit.
But my point, once again,
I was on the Drew
is that it is absurd that Louisville fans tried to call in and convince that to me. And knowing what we know now, it was never going to happen based off the financials and numerous other things.
Right, right.
But the fact that people try to call in here and justify that they would rather have Kenny Payne over Eric Musselman is absurd. It's been the V-Show.
Yes. That went really fast.
Hell of a way to end the show.
I do have, if you want to throw it to it, we can end it with this. I've got the Danger Zone Gasback starting lineup.
Okay.
I did get it from the voice of God.
All right.
Ready?
Transition into the take. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
And now the starting lineup for the Gasbags. Leading off, the Little Mensch shortstop, Ethan Grossman. Batting second, the Birthday Boy, left center fielder Nick Valvano. Batting third, second baseman, Pat's proxy, Ian Francisco. Batting fourth, first baseman, the biggest of the biscuits, Dave Skull. Batting fifth, right center fielder, Twin Dad, Big Blue Drew. Batting sixth, repping the collars, right fielder, Benji the Mower Man. Batting seventh, third baseman, Repping the tweeters, Jinky, your boy. Batting eight, the catcher, Shalom Biatch. It's America's Mitch, fighting at welterweight, Jack Grossman. Batting ninth, the pitcher, a guy from New York that Nick just met in the parking lot, Danny Filipowski. And batting 10th at utility, Benji's unnamed friend. Happy birthday, Nick Valvano. 40 sure looks good on you.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.